Okay, so we have to start. So I wanted to start something which a little bit is relevant to the shmooze we said yesterday, and a little bit relevant to the parsha, maybe a lot relevant to the parsha. We know in the Chazal that we have each of us had a different midah. Yaakov's midah was considered emes. Titein emes to Yaakov. But where do we find that Yaakov was so big in emes? We find it, in this week's parsha, because basically, what we have is that Lavan goes ahead and constantly tricks, or not just tricks, he basically lies to Yaakov. He makes a business deal, right? He makes up with Yaakov, work for me 7 years, and then I'll give you Rachel, and then he doesn't give what he's supposed to give. He says he gives something else. He gives Leah. And this happens all the time. Every time they apparently, Yaakov said that he switched his tens of times, right? That every time they make up a deal, and then Lavan kept on switching. V'hechlif is marskurti aseres monim. So Lavan kept on switching. Now, how did Yaakov deal with Lavan switching? So we have at the end of the parsha that Yaakov meets Lavan, and he basically gives him a description about how he never went to sleep. He stayed up all night, all day. So Yaakov, this is where the MS, and there's even though Lavan went ahead and constantly backed out of his side of the deal, and therefore the normal human nature would be, so Yaakov says, I don't have to keep my side of the deal. If you're not going to be truthful with me, I don't have to be truthful with you. It's a deal. You chip me, so I'll chip you. But yet Yaakov was the super makbid on being an honest worker, so to speak. So that's where it comes from. I don't think it comes from later in the Chumash. Yaakov, ish emes, it's also, they learn it out from the fact that he was afraid that his father would see that he lied. But a large part of it comes from here, that Yaakov's emes with dealing with Lavan. Someone said even a pshat, a very nice pshat, I once heard this, that the question is, if Lavan was such a tricker, why did Lavan agree to let Yaakov marry Rachel right away? He should have been afraid that maybe, he should want to ensure that Yaakov's going to work for him. He should hold on to the goods to the last minute. So he said that was also part of Lavan's trickery, because Lavan understood that Yaakov's strength was in the fact that he was such an ish emes. So part of Lavan's trickery was to try and trick Yaakov into lying. It was also his trickery. So he wanted to create a situation where Yaakov would for sure lie, because, Lavan lied so many times and gave you, so then you would rationalize it. So I have to work, I worked 7 years for Rachel, and I really did. Then you never gave me Rachel, you gave me Leah. So now, I have to 7 more years, but this is really not fair. So Lavan Bedavka gave Yaakov, one of the Mephorshim, the Chumash say, Lavan Bedavka gave Rachel to Yaakov really so that Yaakov would lie. And then he would, because that was, he wanted to destroy Yaakov, because he saw that he had sitkas in that life. But anyway, but the sitkas of Yaakov was that he was a tremendous emes. So I wanted to talk about emes. But first, before we talk about emes, I have to say a joke. It's nothing to do with anything, but it's just a very cute thing. That the pasuk that Yaakov describes his tremendous work, emes, he says he worked for 20 years, trefet oivei selach, etc., By day I was eaten, ochalani. Apparently means I was eaten, chorev, by heat, Rashi says, v'kerech, and frost at night. So the Ungaris says here, a very beautiful Ungaris, chayisi b'yom ochalani. Now, I assume achalni means I was eaten by, even though I would have translated I ate, but okay, achalni. Achalni sharba uglida. Right? So, ungaris translates the word kerach as frost as glida. Glida is a modern Hebrew word. There is no word for glida anywhere. It's a made-up word, right? Ben Yehuda made it up. He made it up from the fact that we find glida in the Unglis, in a few places. We find it by the month. But one of the places here, glida in Unglis means like the frost. But here, so it's very nice. He saw, says in the Pasuk, the Gainus of Ben, I don't know if this is where he got it from, that it says that Yaakov says, I was eaten or I ate glida. Yaakov's complaining here. You know, I stayed up all night and I ate glida, you know. So, that's where it comes from. Okay, anyway. It's a nice unkos. So, anyway, so I wanted to speak about MS. Now, MS is... The Rabbeinu Yaina in Shari Tshuva says something which I assume most people know, but it's not everyone knows, that he says that the Isser of MS is not only if it's going to hurt someone, but even what they call a white lie, that's the expression, means even if it doesn't hurt anyone. Right? It's really a Beferish Gemara in Suvis that some of you people might have learned, that there's a Machlekes, Kesa Meraktim Lifnei Hakawa. So Beis Shammai say, you say Kawa Noah V'chasuda, that you praise a Kawa. Beis Hillel, that's Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say, you can't say that. Why can't you say that? Because Mitvar Sheker Tirchik. So, I mean, Mitvar Sheker, it's not hurting anyone. So it's pretty beferish in the Mishnah that even when it's not hurting anyone, there's a problem with Sheker. Beis Hillel says, as a Hesvara, that when you're, you know, it's a Minaman Shalom, person's getting married, it's a shalom, they should be happy with his wife, so there are heterim to say a lie. But Bishamai said over there, Beferish, and how can you say Kawa Nova Chasuda if she's not, if it's not true, it's Vara Mishnah Sheker Tirchik. So it's pretty clear from the Gemara that there's an Isser of Sheker even if it doesn't hurt anyone. It's a Mishnah. It's pretty Beferish from the Mishnah. But anyway, Rabbeinu Yaina says it's Beferish. That it's an Isser of Sheker is even if it doesn't hurt anyone. So the question is, which I want to discuss, is how does a person go ahead? In other words, it's very difficult. It's the same problem we have with Lashon Hara. You know, we talk, and sometimes without thinking, you don't, it's very hard to think about everything you say before you say it. Because then you would end up talking, you would barely be able to talk. You'd have to stop every second. So how does a person stop himself from saying sheker, especially little lies that are, you know, that aren't really, you know, no big deal. And they creep into your conversation. Especially, I'm pretty sure I heard this from the Rashiva. I know I'm going to say sheker and talk on sheker. But I think I heard from the Rashiva that he said that in this door, sheker is extremely difficult because I think Levy said that America's society is a very, very sheker society. Maybe more, I don't know, I don't think he said more than Eastern Europe, Western Europe, but more than Eastern Europe. Meaning that Eastern Europe maybe was a society, at least in the Jewish communities where they were, you know, little tetos, they were isolated. It was like an accept a thing, you don't lie. But in America, it's fakert. Every politician, obviously, we know, is a liar, right? And so any speech a politician makes, it's sick ratio, he's lying, you know. You know that. Right? Any salesman in a store, that's, he's a good salesman, he's a liar, he's a good lawyer. How do you be, what's a good lawyer? You know, depending on which field of law, but if he's a field of criminal law, it means he knows how to twist the truth. My sister took a course in college, and basically it was a course of how to lie. That was the course, you know. It was like amazing. I don't think she knew that's what she was taking when she took it, but signed up. But that's what they were teaching. How the lion get away with it. That was basically the nature of the course. So we have all advertisements are lies. You know, basically, got music here. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, stop. Right, advertisement. So you go anytime you see on a bus, you go on it, you know, even if you don't watch television, but you see it, or it's on the radio, you know, every advertisement is a lie. So you're from a young age, we're indoctrinated with lies. So Mele, how do you not lie when you're in a society that everybody is lying? You know, everyone. Every ad is a lie. Every poster is a lie. Every, you know, the president's lying. The Choshva people lie. So it's not so easy. So they wanted to say there's a big, I want to say a very big yisayv, but I'm not getting there yet. So we'll start slowly. So the simple answer is, if I ask you, how do you stop yourself from saying Lashon Hara? So the simple answer is you learn Hilchus Lashon Hara. First of all, to knock it into your head that Lashon Hara is Aser. And then you have to think before you talk. So that would be the simple answer for lying. You have to learn Sefer Lashon, you know, that it's Aser to speak, to lie. There happens to be a Sefer, which is a phenomenal, it's actually a very good Sefer. It's called Nitzvah Sayim. She actually owns it, which is written like the Chofetz Chaim on Lashon Hara, and it's the exact same setup, and it goes through the halachas of lying, when you're allowed to lie and when you're not allowed to lie. So it's exactly the same setup. So it's basically you learn, instead of just like you learn Hilchus Lashon Hara, you learn Hilchus Sheker, you knock into your brain that it's usher to lie, and then you train yourself to think before you talk. Okay, that's one way. The problem is that doesn't work so well, because it probably works maybe if your whole conversation from A to Z is a lie, so you think before you talk, you're not going to say it. If the whole thing is Lashon Hara, you're not going to say it. But if it just sneaks into the conversation, you know, basically my conversation is 99% kosher. And just, by accident, I exaggerated. I told her, you know, I embellished the story a little bit. I was telling over a story, so I embellished it. So assuming you have to know your Hilchus Sheker, is that mutter or not? But assuming it's not mutter, so how do you stop that? That happens by itself, without even realizing it. You can't, I didn't stop doing it. Same thing in Lashon Hara. If I'm going out maliciously to speak Lashon Hara, so learning Chofetz Chaim will help. But if it just sneaks into my conversation, right, and how do you stop it? And then when you add what we said yesterday, adds to the problem. You can speak Lashon Hara with body language, right? So, okay, I'll think before I talk. But you can't think before you make body language. You know, the guy mentions you, what do you think of David? You know, David? And then you make a frown, right? That's almost a reflex. So that's Lashon Hara, right? And we said yesterday in the Chochma Musar that you're over Sheker also with body language, right? That's what the Rav Simcha Zissel said, that if a guy, it can be over Sheker just by his body motions. And that's almost impossible to control, because you're not even realizing what you're doing. You're not thinking. When you're speaking, you know you're saying and you stop. It's a truthful. But to control your body language, I know, it sounds almost impossible. Anyway, so I heard two suggestions. One suggestion, which is not what I want to stop on, I heard from Rob Brook. But I should say, because he said that he always liked Chinuch HaMusar. Navardikers were always very big in Chinuch HaMusar. So he said Chinuch HaMusar is when you should train yourself not to lie by being honest, even when I'll be din, you don't have to be honest. For example, if a person asks you what time it is, so instead of saying it is 10:20, which is that, you say it's around 10:20, because it's really not 10:20, it's probably 10:21 right now. Now, if you say 10:20, it's really 10:21, that's not a lie, because it's self-understood when you say 10:20, you're rounding it off. Everyone knows you round it off. But if you go out of your way to say it's 10:21, or you say it's around 10:20, like Moshe said, kichatzos, instead of bichatzos, so you're training yourself to be machmer and not, I cannot say something which is not true. So Rav Brook said that, he said there are many cases where halachically something's not called a lie because it's understood that's how people talk. Someone, but you should go out of your way to go say the truth. And that trains yourself. That's chinuch hamusar. Someone asks you if you have change. And I don't know if this is a good example. It could drive the guy crazy. But in theory, and you have change, but you need it. So you can say, I'll be din. I don't have change. You don't have change. I need it. But you say, no, I'm sorry, I need it. Right? So, you know, you're going out of your way to avoid saying a lie gets into the chinuch hamusar. Oh, okay. Okay, anyway, now let's start the musar vad. That was the introduction. That's the problem. The problem is, how do we stop ourselves from lying, or how do we stop ourselves from saying lashon hara? So the Rishiva said a chiddush otzum, which I never knew until I was, I don't know how many years in Beis Medrash, and it was maybe it's pashat, but I did not know it. So, today I want to tell you this chiddush. It's a chiddush in hashkafa and has relevance to lemaisa and behavior. There are two separate, we say in the Shemona Esrei, Kibur Panecha Nasata Lanu Toiras Chaim V'Avas Chesed. So the Bali Musar have a diyuk. What do you mean Avas Chesed? We don't find anywhere Avas Filin, Avas Tzitzis, Avas Lulav, Avas Shofar. What's this expression Avas Chesed? So they basically explain, you're supposed to love every mitzvah. So they basically explain a basic, very simple insight. Shofar, lulav, tzitzis, tefillin, you're supposed to love them because they're a mitzvah. If luyitzer, they're not a mitzvah, you don't love them. I love doing a mitzvah. If let's say there's no mitzvah on Shabbos of putting on tefillin, then I don't love tefillin, putting on tefillin. I only love eating matzah because it's a mitzvah. I love doing mitzvah. So on Pesach, it's a mitzvah. It's a sukkah. It's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. So I love a sukkah because it's a mitzvah. Then after sukkah, there's no mitzvah of eating the sukkah. I don't love the sukkah. I have no desire to eat in a sukkah after sukkah. Right? So I don't really love the sukkah. I love the mitzvah. Right? That's how it is with all mitzvahs. Except by chesed. By chesed, your person is supposed to love chesed besides a mitzvah. You're supposed to love chesed because it's a mitzvah, like all mitzvahs. But you're supposed to love chesed because intrinsically chesed is right. A person is supposed to be kind of a midah. It's not a mitzvah. Chesed is not a mitzvah only. It's a midah. You're supposed to be a chesed personality. You're supposed to be a person who cares about people. That's a midah. It's a hargasha. It's not just a, it's not a gzeiras hakasav. It's a gzeiras hakasav. You're supposed to go ahead and do chesed. Hashem said, I got there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, so I give tzedakah. You're supposed to want to do tzedakah. I love doing tzedakah. When I help the ani, I feel so good. Not just because I got a mitzvah and I raked up schar and odom haba. I feel good because it feels good to help someone. We can hear that. So Rav Shiva said, and he based it on Rabbeinu Yonah and Mishle and Gimel Gimel, and it's in the Rabbeinu, and it's the Pshat Tshuva too, that MS is the same thing, just a converse. MS is a midah. It's not a mitzvah. It's a midah. A big chiddush. I thought it was a big chiddush. In other words, the reason why we do not lie is not only because it's avera to lie. We don't lie because we hate lying. Just like we do chesed. You're supposed to do chesed because we love chesed. so that even besides the mitzvah, even if there was an order, what's it called, not an order, you know, that there's a, you don't have mitzvah anymore. Hashem puts a, what? What's the word? No, you got it right. What word? Okay. If there's a temporary stoppage, no mitzvah today. Moratorium? On whatever it is. I don't know my English. Okay. If all of a sudden there's no mitzvah of chesed, a person should want to do chesed anyway. Because I love chesed. So the converse is true with sheker. A person is supposed to hate sheker. Part of the mitzvah, if a person does chesed, according to the Bavli Musar, only because it's a mitzvah, but not because I care about you, you're not yaitzi fully the mitzvah of chesed. You have to yaitzi something. And if I give an ani a dollar, and I say, oh, the mitzvah to give staka, hinini muchlin mezumen, a guy mitzvah's essay shall staka. So there's, it's very nice, but there's a begam in the mitzvah, because you're supposed to also, not only, but also, have a hargasha, and besides the mitzvah, I'm thrilled to give you chesed, because I love doing you chesed. Just like I would love, Rav Simcha Zisel says, do you ever see a father giving, helping his son, say, hini buchan mezumen, I want to help my son? You do it because you love your son, and you want to help him. So you should have the same hargasha when you see an ani. So just like by chesed, you're supposed to have a love for chesed. MS, you're supposed to have a love for MS or a hatred for sheker. It's a hargosha that chesed, sheker is disgusting. It's yuch. Sheker is a miyastika thing. It's sheker. It's a lie. Lying are disgusting. The problem is that when you're in a society where everyone lies, so you get used to disgusting things, so you don't feel it's disgusting. It's like a person who's in a society where everyone walks around naked, so you don't feel there's anything wrong with walking around naked. But if you start not walking around naked, you will naturally feel that there's something wrong with being naked. It's a natural human argosha. This is, it's not nice. So a person, a human being, based on its Salma Elokim, is supposed to have a natural argosha that sheker is disgusting. And you're supposed to work. It's not enough just to not speak sheker. You're supposed to have that hargosha. And once you have that hargosha, then it's very much easier not to speak. Because if you have the real reason why a way a person doesn't speak Lashon Hara is because Lashon Hara is disgusting. I would want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. I love you. And how do I stop myself from hearing Lashon Hara? The same way, because I love my relationship with you. I don't want anyone to ruin my feelings toward you. So my emotional love for you blocks myself from speaking Lashon Hara. And my emotional love from you stops me from hearing Lashon Hara. That's the real way. It says that's what the Gedolim, I heard that. That the best way to stopping Lashon Hara is not to, I mean, obviously, we have to do both because we're not such a high madrega. But the way of thinking before you talk isn't foolproof. But if you love, just like a guy speaks Lashon Hara, you never speak Lashon Hara by mistake about yourself. Right? That never happens. Oops, I told you my biggest secret that I embarrassed myself about. You know, very rarely people do that because you love yourself. So you're not going to let it slip by accident. No matter how much you're not thinking, you're not going to slip some big secret, some embarrassing secret about yourself. So if you love your friend, you're not going to slip in the middle of a conversation Lashon Hara about your friend. Right? So the real way to stop Lashon Hara is to work on Ahavas Yisrael. So the real way of stopping Sheker is to work on the Midah that sheker is a disgusting thing. The world doesn't know it. That's a crazy world we live in. It's a crazy America, right? But sheker, person has to work on realizing sheker is a perversion. It's a perversion of truth. Truth is a beauty to truth. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that one of the reasons why you won't be mekabel lashon hara is because if you're kind of the midah of MS, you can't stand the thought of accepting a thought that's not true. No non-true pshat should go through my brain. My brain should hold information and believe information that's not true. That's disgusting. I don't want my brain having garbage in there. So if this guy's telling me something which might not be true, I don't want to listen, because I don't want to have my brain holding, you know, junk. So I don't know how that fits with watching television. But okay. Anyway, but it's a hargosha that you don't want, you know, if you to hear that sheker is a miyistic thing, so then it is almost effortless, you don't speak sheker.
How is this true in my life?
Because even a white lie is a miyistic thing. Because it's not miyis because it's hurting the person, it's intrinsically miyis. Now, the problem is, I agree with you, that's such a foreign concept to us, because we grew up in a society. But just like I'm saying, when we teach people, a person to be sanua. Why are you supposed to be sanua? Not because you're hurting someone, because it's disgusting to walk around naked, you know? Well, there's no one around. I don't care, no one around. We have the hema. A person who is kind of certain hargashas, sheker is a perversion of truth. Perversion of truth, not because it's hurting someone, it's a perversion. I live truth. My life is, I want to strive for truth, right? That's English in Michleo. That's my goal in life, to live a life of truth, to do things that are truthful, to have honest, truthful goals. I want my life to be truthful, to be honest, to be meaningful. And when you mix in sheker, when you mix sheker into life, then everything becomes perverted. It's memeda. It causes, then you have no concept of truth. So I can't stand sheker. People that lie, then they lie. There are people that lie. I knew a person. He couldn't get a straight sentence out of his mouth without lying. Right? If it was so much part of his personality that it was almost, it was just a reflex. He couldn't not lie. Even if you paid him, he couldn't lie. You know, it just the way he talked. Everything was a lie. I'm exaggerating slightly. But that's what happens to a different extent. The more you get used to sheker, you become a sheker personality. It's a perversion. A person on the right, Rav Yisrael, the Rashi used to always quote Rav Yisrael and Michlev Dawit, I believe it is, that says that Yirah Shamayim is not so good from stopping you from doing averus, or not foolproof. What's it not so good? Not foolproof. Because Yirah Shamayim can only stop you from doing an avera if you know it's an avera. But the taivis can pervert a person's vision, and he doesn't know it's an avera. So then how are you going to stop yourself from doing the avera? So Rav Yisrael said the most, you need emes. When a person has to have a midah, that I can't stand falsehood. I can't stand falsehood to others. I can't stand falsehood to myself. I'm not gonna lie to myself. I don't want to be lied to. I don't want to live a life of mistakes. Right? If you lie to yourself, then you're gonna end up living a life. Right? There are how many people live a life and they think they're working for a goal, and they're not really doing that goal because they lied to themselves and they fooled themselves and they allowed themselves to be fooled by other people. So I don't want that. I want that I should know the truth. I want that I should be driven toward the truth, that everything I do should go toward the truth. I don't want to be misled. So a person can be kind of, I'm not saying it's easy, because what we said, it's a very hard thing, because we're in a society which is all lies. You know, you go to school and the teacher said, did you do your homework? And of course, no. Well, yes, I did. I just left at home. Right? You're going to say, no, you didn't do it. You're crazy. Why should you tell the truth? Right? No one else is going to tell the truth. Right? You know, Did you cheat on the test? You know, everyone's cheating on the test, right?
Is there a problem with exaggerating?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. That's why you got it here. I'll give you the cipher. And you can learn the halachas. When is exaggerating mutter and when it's not. Exaggerations which are understood are exaggerations, are mutter. If I say there was 1,000 Arabs and I fought them all myself, so that's mutter. Because no one believes you're with 1,000 Arabs and you understand that you're just, it's an expression. But if you say there were 3 and there were really 2, and people will assume there were 3, why should they? It doesn't sound like you're exaggerating. It's not inherent in your language that you're exaggerating. So then when you exaggerate without being, I think that is a problem. But I'm not sure either. You have to learn, I'm not really sure in the halachas. But anyway, the content was, it's a very big insight, which is because we live in a society that's so rooted in sheker that we think that sheker is like a gzeiras hakasif. Again, it's a halacha. It's a very difficult mitzvah. You know, lashon hara, we can hear a little bit of sichli. You know, you're hurting the person. So we can hear that. That's not a gzeiras hakasif. But sheker, especially like saying a white lie, that sounds like a gzeiras hakasif. Why can't you tell a white lie? So what the Musar Sfarim, this is from the Rishonim, are saying is that your mechuyev, we have to change our whole way of thinking. We have to try and indoctrinate, because if we don't indoctrinate, that itself is a psul. There's a mitzvah to hate sheker. That's part of the mitzvah. So if we were mechuyev to work on, now I'm not saying I got there either, it's very hard, but we're mechuyev to work on trying to feel that sheker is a disgusting thing. So many people ruined their lives because they were living a sheker, because they were fooled. Either they were fooled by other people, fooled them, or they fooled themselves. And people's lives were wasted. And people, you know, were instead of doing what's right, they spent their whole lives running after mirages and this, because they allowed themselves to be fooled. And therefore, the sheker to me is the most disgusting thing, because when people's brains allow information of sheker, then they can't be, nothing is true. You know, you can't be trusted. You can't make the right decision. You can't. So I to me, the ultimate avla, that's what the Rabbi Yonah says, it's like a sheker is like the most disgusting thing in the world. It's the root of all evil. Rabbi Yonah says that there are 2 main midos in the world. I would not have said this. He says the 2 main midos is chesed and sheker, or emes, chesed and emes. He says chesed and emes, all other midos are included in those 2. I don't know how, but that's what he says. It's basically the root. A person with a midah of emes and chesed, if you have those 2 midos, he says you have everything. So he says right in this piece here in Gimel, that those are the most, you know, because when a person, this is it's a whole midah. There's nothing just stop that you don't speak sheker. It's you don't think sheker. You don't rationalize things. You don't allow yourself to have a moira heter. You don't make up baloney excuses for yourself. It's a whole mind frame. I don't live a life of sheker. I can't stand sheker. I'm not going to make up a baloney excuse when they wake me up for minyan. I'm going to tell myself, no, I have to stay in bed because I'm tired. And if it's true, it's true. But you know, I'm not going to allow myself to live sheker, because sheker it corrupts the whole life when you live sheker. And I think you can hear it. It's not easy. The question is to imbibe it. So that was Rashiva said this chiddush. To me, it was a very big chiddush. And I assume it's a chiddush for some of you, that the mitzvah sheker is not a mitzvah, it's a midah. And we have to work on the midah of despising sheker. And when you work on the midah of despising sheker, then memeda, you won't lie, memeda, you won't rationalize, memeda, you won't be mekabel lashon hara, memeda, you won't get wrong shot in taisis. He actually says that in learning, you'll get better shots there's so many ramifications. So he says, one of the centrist midah, that when you go ahead and you imbibe the midah, that it's sheker is a disgusting thing. So memeda, you go ahead and you avoid all the problems.